Hi, I'm Mike Sainsbury and welcome to this ASI cast, where Brian Jacobs interviews Anna Reeves, Kantar Media's Chief Marketing Officer, about the findings of the latest Dimension study. This substantial qualitative survey seeks to explore attitudes to their online experience of 5,000 connected consumers across 5 markets. Taken together with in-depth interviews with industry leaders, the study explores the extent to which both groups share the same perceptions and concerns.
Okay, so hello everybody, this is Brian Jacobs and welcome to this episode of the ASI podcast. And I'm delighted to say that I'm joined today by Anna Reeves, Chief Marketing Officer at Kantar Media. So hi there, Anna.
Hi Brian, how are you?
I'm all right, thanks, I'm okay. So Anna, we're going to talk about Kantar Media's Dimension program. I mean, to the listening audience, obviously Kantar Media's very well known. Dimension program, this is now in its second year. So you're about to, or you're in the process of rolling out the findings of year two of this study. So maybe you could start by just describing briefly what it is and what you did and why you did it.
So the Dimension Programme is was established last year, and the study really comprises two major components. There is a large qualitative study that we conduct online with what we call connected consumers. So connected consumers we define as those who have 2 out of either a PC laptop, a tablet or a smartphone connected to the internet. And we speak to 5,000 of these consumers across 5 major advertising markets, so the US, the UK, France, Brazil, and China. And we combine the findings of the survey with the views of industry leaders. And our industry leaders, again, are taken from those 5 major advertising markets. But collectively, they represent the many different aspects of the media landscape. So we have leaders from brands, from agencies, from media owners, from ad tech companies, and so on. So essentially what we're trying to do with the study is gather the opinions of consumers, which many of the communications that we in the industry are involved in developing and activating are intended to reach, while bringing that sort of reality, if you wish, into our industry conversations, which so often happen sort of within a bubble, within this industry bubble that we operate.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting point, because I'm not aware of too many studies that or too many large pieces of work of this sort of scale that combine these two things. So we've got, I suppose, as you say, we've got sort of industry leaders from every angle talking about issues that concern them. And then at the same time, we've got those very people that they're trying to reach and influence with their advertising or with their editorial or, you know, with whatever it is that they do. Mm-hmm. And you're asking them about what it is that they consider to be important, what are the sort of key issues that they face. So it's this very interesting kind of two sides of the same coin, isn't it? You've got the leaders on the one hand and you've got consumers on the other hand. And I mean, when you did this work, let's talk about the 2018 study, because obviously that's highly relevant at the moment. I mean, when you did this work, I mean, did you find that the two pieces sort of fitted together, or did you find industry leaders saying one thing and consumers just saying something entirely different?
I think there are a number of aspects actually to that. I think there is a consensus between the two groups. There is a little bit more of a gap between, I think, what the industry would consider advancements and progress, particularly online, versus what the consumer would recognize as an improved experience, ad experience. So we're still hearing, a large proportion of consumers saying that they're seeing too much of the same type of ad, that they're not seeing enough ads that are relevant to them. And whilst recognizing that there is a link between, the provision of their data and increased relevancy. Yes, there is some consensus of opinion, but perhaps the gap is bigger than we in the industry tend to think it is. And I think there was also then another interesting dynamic which has started to emerge around, again, the industry getting quite excited about some of the newer media forms that are gaining scale, if you wish. And in particular, I'm thinking about voice activated technologies and sort of, you know, the resurgence of audio and so on. These are things which our consumers reported that they are starting to use as part of an integrated part of their daily lives, but they're not quite at the scale perhaps that matches with some of the levels of excitement that are in existence within the industry around, you know, the creative options and so on.
Yeah, I think this is interesting, isn't it? I mean, we do tend to, as you said, you know, we do tend to kind of live in a bit of a bubble, so we get hugely excited about the latest shiny thing. And of course, sometimes the latest shiny thing turns out to be, brilliant, sort of game-changing and exciting in lots of different ways. But other times, consumers sort of go, well, yeah, what's that? Or I don't consider that to be particularly important. And of course, there's a sort of time gap, isn't there? I suppose the industry is kind of, you know, leaps onto these things and gets excited by it and tries to experiment and do whatever, and probably spends a disproportionate amount of time given the amount of the size of audience that's going to be attracted to those things, a disproportionate amount of time worrying about it. And consumers, I guess, you're finding are sort of shrugging a bit and going, well, come back when it's ready, almost, you know.
I think it goes back to, you know, to a point around relevancy. So, you know, we look at some of the newer technologies, augmented reality, virtual reality, and how they're being used in some markets in certain sectors very well. So cosmetics, for example. And, you know, they're being applied in a very relevant way, and they're getting traction with the consumer. And the consumer is, you know, in many cases finding it very useful and then sometimes entertaining. But you have a look at it, but then conversely, when you look at voice, you know, not only is that technology not yet scaled, and therefore it's difficult for it to form part of a core component of integrated campaigns. You know, industry leaders reported that actually it's very difficult trying to create content that's relevant for an entirely new media form. So, you know, there's no doubt that voice and so on is going to scale rapidly. And indeed, some of the stats that we have from our consumer fieldwork, you know, the consumer fieldwork was undertaken in December, mid-December 2017. And I think it was 1 in 5. The stat at a global level was that 1 in 5 consumers have some sort of, smart speaker, be it a Google or an Amazon product. And it's clear that that number will now be out of date and that there will be many more people after having, you know, after Christmas, having had them as gifts and so on, having ownership of these devices. But it really does bring very real challenges to the industry around, you know, the creation of content. How do you then sort of like fit that that new media form into an integrated campaign concept? And also then just thinking about the measurement aspect, how do you attribute the value that particular component has delivered into the campaign?
Yeah, Anna, you mentioned, moving on to a slightly different topic, you mentioned ad blocking, and again, that was a topic that was obviously exercising a lot of people's minds. I would have said probably it was exercising people's minds probably more, you know, a few months ago maybe than now. And I don't know whether or not you found that it's sort of started to sort of flatten off a little bit. But what did you find about ad blocking?
So I think, you know, the starting point really for this was from a consumer point of view, you know, their general sort of like feeling in terms of, well, when we ask the consumer, do you think that advertisers are doing a better job of reaching you today than they perhaps did in the past? Actually, we saw that number stay pretty much the same, although it was declined ever so slightly. So in 2017, it was 73% said yes, 71% said yes. So slight decline in the number there. And actually what that then sort of tells you is that generally speaking, the consumer is not seeing huge advancements or improvements in the overall ad experience. If we then come to ad blocking and what, you know, what's the extent of the issue? I mean, most certainly it hasn't gone away. So it's very similar levels to 2017. So we've got this year, just over 1 in 5 connected adults claiming to use an ad blocker all of the time, and a further sort of 33% saying that they sometimes block. And when we dug into those numbers a little bit more and we looked at different audience segments of the consumer, connected consumer, it wasn't just the young people that were doing it. We had sort of equal sort of levels of blocking, if you wish, within the 45 to 64 year old age bracket as well. So certainly still a big issue. A lot of it's been driven around this sort of, you know, poor creative that people are reporting, a lack of relevance and contextual inappropriateness, inaccurate chronology, all of the complaints that we've heard, you know, echoed around the industry for a number of years now, particularly in relation to online. So it's still a lot to do there.
And I think it's an interesting topic where you've got an example, I guess, of industry leaders sort of saying, this is an issue. Consumers sort of mirroring that back to them and saying, yes, this is an issue. And here we are, you know, a year later into the second study, and consumers are saying, this is an issue. And nothing, well, from the consumer standpoint, maybe it sounds as if not a lot seems to have been being done, if you see what I mean. I mean, consumers are still pretty well where they were about 12 months, 15 months ago, and are not noticing any great kind of improvement.
Yeah, I think what did come through, though, from some of our leaders is that there is increasing recognition that it's not just around the mechanics of sort of marketing technology, if you wish, that's driving this, but it's a real need for creative agencies to be involved much earlier in the process and given sort of access to data earlier on in sort of, you know, the concept of the campaign. So creative... and the need to be able to create different types of content, you know, almost, you know, to serve to audience types in real time and so on, is just becoming more and more important. So I think that is something that we'll start to see more of a conversation around in the industry.
Mm. I think it's rather interesting if you sort of go back sort of many, many, many years, the argument, or not the argument, the discussion always used to be, well, media people need to be involved as an earliest possible stage in the process, you know, in the old full service agency days, as opposed to coming along at the end and buying spots or buying space or whatever it was. And now it seems to have become rather inverted. And we've now got to the point where the media agencies seem to be, you know, just by observation, seem to be very much at the sort of forefront of using data and using technologies and so on. And then sort of going, well, we've done this, could you create for it? And the creative agencies are sort of rather struggling to get on the front foot, aren't they? And they're sort of rather reacting, which I suppose means that they'll just use what they've got as opposed to creating especially for something, you know? So.
Well, I think it's partly about the creative agency role, but it's also around sort of the brand as well. And then recognising that actually in some cases they've got to be perhaps more open to the with the data that they have. They've also got to structure budgets in a slightly different way, and they've got to be open to sort of creating so many different types of content for the different audience segments to start to get away from this issue around poor chronology of ads, particularly online.
And there's this kind of rather difficult, I suppose, sort of counterbalance, isn't there, or balance needs to be struck between relevancy on the one hand, because everybody, I would imagine, says, yes, we want to see more relevant ads, and a concern about privacy on the other hand. I mean, did you find that coming out in any way during the study?
We picked up during the study and from the connected consumers that we surveyed that there was absolutely an awareness of the value of their data and in return getting something of benefit. So it may be a more relevant ad experience or discounts or whatever it might be. But, you know, even in spite of that, only I think it was just sort of like 30% of connected consumers said that they would be prepared to give their data in relation for some sort of perceived benefit. So whilst on the one hand, quite a few of the consumers said that they wanted to see more relevant data. And I think it was 65% of our connected consumers said they prefer to see ads that are relevant. Only 30% are prepared to actually, you know, share some of their data in order to make that happen. Mm. And again, you know, this survey was conducted before GDPR comes into play. It was also conducted before some of the big sort of like privacy issues around Facebook and so on earlier this year. So I think it's going to be an increasing challenge for brands to be able to deliver on that promise of increased relevancy and everything that then comes with that in terms of, you know, better positioning their brand and building you know, engagement with the consumer. That's going to become increasingly difficult in an environment where there's an increased scrutiny on how you collect that, how you manage and use that data. And of course, you know, the consumer's view on whether or not they're prepared to do that in the first place.
Yeah, it's identifying where that line sits, I suppose, between doing something that's relevant to someone and being a bit kind of spooky and a bit stalky in the way in which you're going after people. And I think, I don't know, just again by observation, I mean, my view of this is, you know, that people are increasingly concerned if it's if we sort of go the wrong side of that line, and if advertisers or brands start to stalk you, you know, start to be a bit kind of weird and spooky about it. But on the other hand, if you're serving me something which is highly relevant to me or to what I'm doing at that second, and something I want to know about and that would benefit me, as you said, I mean, through, you know, whatever means, then that's fine. But don't sort of step over the line to lurking behind a lamppost outside my house and stalking me kind of thing. It's that sort of thing, isn't it?
You know, I mean, then we come back to, you know, why is it that when we're conducting this study, we want to speak to all of us, to as many different parts of the industry as we can. And the reason for that is that there isn't one element of the industry that can make this change on their own. It has to be an industry effort. You know, everything from the creative agencies, the ad tech organizations, the agency, the media planning agencies and so on, that are all working together in order to be able to, you know, deliver the promise to the consumer, which is, you know, share your data, you get an improved ad experience.
Yeah. Maybe you could end by saying a little bit about, because I think we've spent a bit of time talking about online advertising and sort of, you know, newer things, as you said. I mean, some of the newer technologies and newer techniques that people are using. What did you find about the more sort of traditional media forms? You know, I hesitate to say TV, but sort of video in the sort of broad sense, you know, whether that's on a, whether or not you're viewing it on whatever the device you're viewing it on, or radio or print and so on. I mean, what did you find about those kinds of forms? Are they holding up quite well?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, no doubt about it. We're still living in a mixed media economy. So, you know, once again this year, we heard from the connected consumers that the established media forms are very resilient. So nearly everybody that we spoke to or surveyed, across all of the five markets continued to watch TV through TV set and listen to radio offline and look at print versions of newspapers. And, you know, just to give you some indication of sort of the ad experience, you know, of the total sample, 33%, and let's take TV as an example, 33% said that they prefer to see TV ads on TV, you know, when viewed via a TV set as opposed to online forms of the medium. Mm. And again, when you look at printed magazines, 32% preferred to see ads in printed versions versus 26% online. So that, you know, 33% versus 25 on the online version for TV and 32 in the traditional or established and 26 percent in the online print version. So, you know, absolutely holding their own, very much still has a very, very core role in all campaign plans and media plans.
Yeah, that's that seems to be a very good point to stop on, because I think, going back to one of the points you made at the start, Anna, I mean, it is interesting, isn't it, that within the industry, we delight in talking about new things, and of course, it's right and appropriate that we should advise, you know, advertisers about all the new things that are out there. But it's sometimes quite it's exceedingly valuable to have ourselves brought back via what consumers have to say about the resilience of more traditional media forms. And it's not to say, I mean, you use the phrase mixed media economy. It's not to say, you know, yeah, we're 100% one direction or 100% the other direction. It's that these things coexist together, don't they? And they bring different things to the consumer. It's not just one thing or the other thing.
Yeah, no, I would absolutely agree with that. The one other thing, though, that I would add to that is that, and this was perhaps a little surprising to us, was we did ask our consumers a question which essentially we listed a whole host of different types of advertising or sort of ways in which brands could communicate with consumers. And it ranged from, you know, a typical sort of TV ad all the way through to, you know, messages placed on social media or, you know, content or editorial that people might read in articles and so on. And we asked the consumers to identify which they, you know, which of these would they consider to be advertising. And 64% of the sample said all of these. And, you know, so that tells you a lot about, you know, how people are consuming content, if you wish, from brands. And I guess, you know, one of the standout pieces was around the role still of friends and family, of review sites, you know, all of these sort of places where people would go to find out more about brands and so on. It just, you can't rely on one medium. You have to be able to think about all of the messaging in the round and essentially a consumer journey. Where are they going to be able to get the information that they need ultimately to move them along that purchase funnel?
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, Anna, thanks so much for spending the time talking to us on this ASI podcast, and we hope very much to be able to welcome you to an ASI conference in the near future. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.